high atop a mountain, above the pines and mist that surrounds the Bay of Inverness, there stands an incredible mansion. Its three towers appear to pierce the sky. Its windows are like a thousand eyes turned inward, and its doors, hinged on time, open into endless space.
Return to Inverness!
Night is the mother of plots.
Jack has gone to bed early, hoping to catch a nap before the night gets into full swing. But the old mansion is already trembling with a strange frequency that appears to be centered near the temple ruins. A small candle flickers, casting shadows about the room. Jack lies there, calming himself by listening to the sound of his breathing. The windows are open. The fresh night breeze is blowing in, rustling the lace curtains. Off across the fields, he can hear the spring frogs cheerfully peeping away. From somewhere miles away, he can hear a freight train passing through the night. And then he hears a sound that is alien to this idyllic nocturnal scene. A wall panel is slowly sliding open. Jack doesn't move, but his eyes scan the dim, flickering room as he tries to locate the source of the sound. Across the room, a hand creeps out of the wall. The gloved fingers grasp a small, oval portrait of the late Lady Jowls. It silently slipped from its hook, and it's gone. But a moment later, the hand reappears holding a painted mask. Even from this distance, Jack recognizes that face. He springs off the bed, ducks beneath the stuffed giraffe's neck that extends across the room, and dashes for the panel. The mask slips from the gloved hand. Jack dives for the mask, catching it with his left hand while grabbing for the panel with his right. Too late. The panel snaps shut.
Oh, darn it.
He feels about the mahogany-paneled wall, but he can't find an opening. He switches on the light. In his left hand, a golden face stares back at him.
So, here you are again, Ms. Madonna Vampira. I don't know why he carved your face into this mask, or what he used as a model. But I think it's time I had a serious talk with the Mask Man.
Jack tosses the mask onto the bed. He walks over to the closet. He chooses a pair of high-top boots. While he's lacing them up, let me remind you that upon arriving in Inverness, all of Jack's clothes were stolen from the closet. And in their place, there appeared a closet full of what may well have been Lord Jowl's 1920s safari gear, including shooting jackets, knickers, and even a classic English pith helmet. Well, as you can see, he's now ready to go exploring out into the wilds of Inverness. It's a bright, moonlit night. All around him is a strange vibration, a quivering, fluttering, almost a pulsation, as though some ancient power were awakening from a deep sleep. Jack continues on into the woods. It's here where the moonlight filters through the leaves that he finally switches on his flashlight and follows the path to the mask maker's cottage.
Who is it, Rufus? It's the squire. Come on in, squire.
How'd you know it was me?
Rufus told me.
Oh, right.
You want some tea?
Yeah.
How about Lushan Mofang?
Sure, why not?
You have a question.
Yeah?
I'm not sure if I can answer it.
This evening, while I was in my room, I actually watched an oval portrait of Lady Jowls disappear, and a mask appeared in its place. I know who she is. What I'd really like to know is... Rufus, I'm speaking.
When I was carving that mask, she just emerged.
Well, how do you mean?
She came from within.
Within?
Out of the grain.
The grain? In the wood? You mean when you were carving the mask, she just took shape?
She was within the grain, As I followed the contours, her face emerged.
And you two have never met?
Not before, no.
Do you know who she is?
I was told she's a vampire.
Does that bother you?
Not as much as it's bothering you. She is beautiful.
Oh, yes. And dangerous. And seductive.
You know her?
Yeah. By the way, you know, she doesn't suck blood. She's an energy vampire. She sucks men's energy.
Just men?
Yeah, I think so.
Why just men?
Because she knows we're easy. So, you weren't the one who put her in my room this evening?
No.
Well, do you want her back?
I don't think so.
Hey, what about this mask hanging above the fireplace? Did that just emerge from the grain?
It's from a photograph.
Wow. You did a nice job on this one. I assume you know who it is.
Dr. Mazzola.
Mazzola.
Mazzola. He's an alchemist?
He was. He died. And what about all these other masks? Each one has its own undeniable character. Where did you learn to carve like this?
I studied with a Balinese mask maker.
You mean in Bali?
Yeah. His name was Katut Lier. He lives in the village of Maas.
I know that village. It's near Ubud. That's where the best mask carvers come from.
Katut is a master carver and a medicine man. A holy man. I learned more than just the art of carving from Katut.
You know, Bali is a special place. Or at least it was when I was there, but things were changing awfully fast.
Some things don't change.
You know, I came here one evening, and as I approached your cottage, I heard what I thought was a party going on, but when I knocked on the door, everything fell silent. And when I stepped inside, the place was empty, except for these masks. Your masks are rather talkative, too, aren't they?
That never happened before.
You mean before that night?
Before you came to Inverness.
Do you think it's caused by this weird energy we're feeling?
That's part of it.
Well, Madame Trunknose feels it's some ancient pagan god awakening from a deep sleep. Lady Pompon thinks it's dangerous.
I don't know.
Rufus thinks it's dangerous too, don't you? Well, thanks for the tea.
Oh, anytime.
Oh, one more question. Why did you paint her gold?
I felt it was her favorite color.
Every road has two directions.
As we look in, we see Jack making his way back from the mask carver's cottage. The moon is looming enormous above the hills of Inverness.
Wow. It's one day away from the full moon. And look at it. What a magical night.
Ahead, Jack sees something tall and ghostly white, glowing in the moonlight.
My God. Is that the mushroom? I bet it must be 20 feet high now, and it's still growing. That is one amazing mushroom. I wonder if it's caused by this weird energy. But why isn't the grass or the trees around here growing like this thing? Speaking of grass, look at that. This trembling is so strong. It's causing the grass and the fields to move back and forth like waves on the ocean.
Jack climbs the knoll to the circle of stones. He stops before a fallen megalith. He looks around, surveying his kingdom in this ghostly, white, moon-washed night.
The energy is less turbulent here. It feels as though the stones are causing it to slowly swirl in a circular motion.
He sits there until the activity of his mind slows and finally ceases. He feels as silent as the stones. And then he hears it. He looks around. From his vantage point atop the knoll, he should be able to see what it is that's approaching, but he sees only the ghostly shapes of trees and the hills washed by the moon. Below him, the grass is being parted as something is rapidly approaching, something invisible to his eyes. Whatever it is, it's coming right for him. And then, as though shattering an invisible membrane, it explodes out into the night.
Oh, God. It's the unicorn.
Jack falls backwards, tumbling off the stone.
Oh.
The creature, silver white in the moonlight, stands over him, looking down with eyes as bright as crystal orbs.
Easy, boy. Easy.
The unicorn lowers its head, the golden horn coming closer and closer. Slowly, Jack reaches out to touch the horn, but it swings its head away.
Oops.
The unicorn steps back. Jack slowly sits up and resumes his seat upon the ancient stone. The beast, wild and untamed, stands there, breathing heavily. Jack would like to reach out and touch its long silver neck, but he dare not. So he sits there and waits. The unicorn steps forward. It lowers its head. The horn swings down in front of Jack's face. He instinctually leans back as the horn passes within an inch of his nose and continues down past his chin, his neck, his shoulders, and then stops, pointing at his heart. Jack is perfectly still, but in his mind, all kinds of thoughts are being tumbled about.
Don't move.
Patience.
You asked for it. Now what?
Patience.
It could kill me.
Patience.
Trust it.
Trust
the chance of a lifetime. Now,
patience.
Don't blow it.
Patience.
Nice to meet you. I gotta run.
Patience.
Feats don't fail me now.
Patience.
Patience.
The tip of the golden horn gently presses against Jack's heart. His thoughts instantly stop. His breath stops. Time dissolves. He is touched by an innocence that he has not felt since he was a child. When he finally opens his eyes, he sees the moon large and round above the hills. The unicorn is gone.